I'd like to welcome everybody before we begin the service, and just a reminder that the white gown that I wear represents the righteousness of Christ. He wraps us in robes of righteousness. And I was thinking this morning, if I had a big enough one, I'd just throw it over everybody. If you've received Jesus, then you're free. You're forgiven your sin. And so, we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and You forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended You, and justly deserved Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray You of Your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And upon this, Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to Your word. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I have stored up Your word in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I declare all the just decrees of Your youth. In the way of Your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and fix my eyes on Your ways. I will delight in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed are You, O Lord. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings of the day. The Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 9. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, or to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day of acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you'll cry, and he'll say, Here I am. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do his name. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. The city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the home. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let's join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
About 6,000 years ago. That's been a while, right? About 6,000 years ago, Egypt ran two kind of chariots, the only time in their history. One with four spokes and one with six spokes. The reason I say that is because there's an area, if you look at the Sinai Peninsula, there's, if you'll get on Google Earth, you can find it. There's a little protrusion of dirt out in the east, about two-thirds of the way up that waterway to the east side. And there's about a 200-yard wide, fairly shallow area there. And they have found coral. Now, coral has to grow on something, right? Well, they found the thing looks like an umbrella. But with metal detectors, they can see that it's a six-spoked wheel. And in the sand over here is the wheel partly exposed, and it's a four-spoke wheel, just about the time that Israel came out of Egypt in the Exodus. I think that's just rather clever. And when they came out, they came to Mount Sinai. So 6,000 years ago, about 4,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years since then, Moses comes to Mount Sinai. And God gives him a plan for the thing called the tabernacle. Now, I was growing up, I probably read something about that, but I didn't really understand what that was all about. But 6,000 years ago, God laid out a plan of the place where they would worship. It's called the tabernacle. And I want to talk with you about that this morning. Two guys, Bezalel and Oholiab, it says God gave them, this is Exodus 36, chapter 1, you can read verse 1, you can read that. It says he gave them a spirit of wisdom and skill to know how to do it, to how to build it. God gave the plan to Moses, but these two guys are going to make it. But God gave them a supernatural skill and insight about how to do that. And then in Exodus 37, God begins to describe the tabernacle and what's in it. And God starts from the inside. And today, I'm going to use that up there as the Holy of Holies. And this will be where you'll be coming in. On the eastern side was a gate. And this whole enclosure here was about 150 foot long. That's with the curtain around on the outside. It had about every 7.5 feet, had a pole, wood pole covered with brass. And it hung about this foot tall, 7.5 feet, about curtains all the way around the enclosure. Okay? And then this building, that was called the tabernacle. Sometimes the building itself was called the tabernacle. 45 foot long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall. And the Holy of Holies was cubed. So it was 30 feet here and 15 feet in the Holy of Holies with length and breadth and heights and depths. And Paul talks about four dimensions. See, first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, length and breadth and height and the spiritual dimension, cubed. That was the presence of God. Remember how they came out? There's this big pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. If the cloud moved, they moved. And when the cloud stopped, then they'd build this tabernacle. And when the cloud would pick up and move, they'd fold it all up. Every clan and tribe of Levi had a job. They had a particular thing they had to do. They wrapped this up, carried it on their shoulders, etc. And then when they stopped, the glory cloud would settle down in the Holy of Holies. It's called the Shekinah glory of God, the uncreated light. God created light, sun, moon, stars. Jesus is the light of the world, but that means in this world. He is the light that's in the world. Okay, but the Shekinah glory of God is the light of God's glory, his presence. And that would settle down in this place called the Holy of Holies. And so God describes to Moses the furniture, all the furniture pieces that we're going to talk about today, from outside, inside out. But we're coming from the outside in. Okay, you with me? So, down there at the end, down there, would be this curtain. When you went into this whole area, and it had cherubims embroidered in blue, color of the sky, forever, eternity. Red, the color of blood, and purple. You mix blue and red, you get purple, and purple is the color of royalty. Jesus, forever God, became a man, suffered and died, and he is the Lord. When you entered in, what you were saying is, we're entering in Jesus. The way into the presence of God is only Jesus. That's the only way in. That's the gate. And he's there. And this open area out there was called the courtyard. And so David's psalm says, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. When were those praises first sung of Christ coming into the world? Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace among men, of men who draw near to God. That was the praise that entered erupting in the universe when God crossed the universe to find us, and he was born at Christmas time, and the angels sang, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, I'll enter his courts with praise. And the order of the furniture, there would have been about, we'll just call it this. This is the laver. It was a huge brass bird bath filled with water. And if Steve was going to become a priest, he would come in here and he would come up to this and he wouldn't get in and leave his dirt behind. They would take water from it and they would wash him and cleanse him, set him aside as a priest. And that's the ministry of the Word. When we come in, Ephesians 5, that by the washing of the water in the Word, a man might present himself a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. What I'm really talking about is Christ and the church. So the laver represents the ministry of the Word that washes us and cleanses us and sets us aside and consecrates us. And so then Steve's duty would be to go to this first big thing. There's this huge brass-covered altar, steps up on the side, about that tall. But the grate was about right here, in the middle, not on the top. It's like a big barbecue pit. That if you sinned, there was a prescribed sacrifice that you had to make. And so you'd bring it in, and this sacrifice would be burnt. And as you and I would come in, that's the first thing we would see. We'd see this huge altar, and it said, sin kills you. So you got to make a sacrifice for the sin so that the sacrifice pays for the sin, not you. Because you sin, you die. And it was down in the center, not on the top, because where does God deal with sin? On the surface? No, at the heart. And so the priest would come in and he'd make the sacrifice at this altar here for all the people. But the priestly duty wouldn't stop there, because remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth? Zechariah was standing in front of an altar saying the prayers when the angel appeared to him and said he's going to have a son, John the Baptist. They were too old to have kids. He didn't really believe it. Okay, you won't be able to talk until he's born. And that convinced him, I think. So he would have come. He would have been set aside, consecrated, dealt with sacrifices, and he would have gone into the holy place, which if you could picture the outside curtain here, there was the altar of burnt sacrifices. Here's the laver. And then in this room, at the very center, right by this, there's this huge veil. And I'll just describe it the way it would have been in Jerusalem. Solomon's temple, destroyed, rebuilt, though, at Jesus' time. There's these massive stone walls and cedars of Lebanon for this, hold the ceiling up. Massive. And this cloth curtain, thick, but cloth curtain here, right. And there's some question about, in one place it says the altar was here, and other places it says the altar was here. But the point being, whatever went on here, it permeated the curtain. Because this was the altar of incense. This was where the prayers went up. And this is where Zechariah would have been standing when the angel appeared to him and said, hey, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. This is where he would have been standing. Because this was this little altar over here. And then, if you would look over here to your left, my right, was a lampstand. And it was hammered out of one piece of gold. It had these seven arms like this, and you'll see them kind of level like that, because there were tubes in here, and you put oil in there, and it would fill all of them. And on the end was a little thing, I'm not sure if you've seen ancient lamps, like a little clay pottery thing, kind of like this, with a hole in the top, you can pour oil in, and then a little thing that comes out, and a little wick that would be down in oil. Well, the oil would go up the wick, and then you'd light it, and that's, you'd carry it around as a lamp. Well, this lampstand had seven of those. And the priest's job, Steve's job, would be regularly. Every week he'd come in, he would prune the wick because if it burned on the end, it got hard and oil couldn't flow through it. It couldn't burn very well. So he'd prune it off. And there was a little gold box that saved all those prunings. We'll come back to that. And then he'd adjust the wick and light it. And this was the only natural light in the tabernacle. Jesus is the light of the world. He's light in this world. He shows us not just God's eternal glory, he does that, but also he's light in the world. And then he says, when he's in us, we are the light of the world. We're the city built on a hill. We're a lamp that shouldn't be put under a bushel as well. And so he adjusts that. And over on this side was a table. It was about that high, and it had 12 stacks of bread. 12 for each of the tribes of Israel. The whole clan. The whole church. It was all there, striped, pierced on this table. And on the edge of the table, from my here to here, that's a hand width. At the edge of the table was a tray, a hand width, surrounded by a crown. It doesn't say what that means, but it's almost like if anything fell off the table, God says, I've got you. No man can pluck you out of my hand. That's in the place called the holy place. But the goal, one day a year, was the Day of Atonement. That was the day where the high priest, and only the high priest, and on other days he'd wear this big ephod with all stones on it, represented tribes of Israel, and here engraved with names, etc. But on this day, he would only have his linen gown, just a white gown, not even this. And he would take a sacrifice. He'd come in, he'd be set aside, he would take the sacrifice, and he would take that blood of the sacrifice, and he would go in through the veil into the Holy of Holies. If he was the right high priest, he could go in. If he had the right sacrifice, it had to be a year-old perfect sacrifice. Couldn't have a blemish, nothing wrong with it. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Christ, our high priest, comes in here. And he would sprinkle it on, it wasn't near this tall, it was about this tall, not this wide, but he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, that was what the lid was called, and on the ground in front of it. And if he was the right high priest, and if he had the right sacrifice, the proof that God had accepted the sacrifice for the sins of Israel for the whole year, the proof was what? What do you think the proof would be? He got out alive. And everybody was waiting. There was a rumor, I think it was just a rumor, that later on they would tie a rope around the priest's leg in case he went in and messed up. They could just kind of reel him back out. I don't think that ever happened, but it's a funny story. Because when the high priest went in, God had given him, there's a time when Aaron is the high priest, Moses and Aaron, right? And some people say, well, we're the tribe of Levi, why can't we be high priests? And God says, okay, go out and cut a stick. They all cut a stick and laid it in front of the tent of meeting here. The next morning, everybody's head withered, of course, except Aaron. It had budded, sprouted, and produced almonds. God was saying, the authority is with Aaron. He's the high priest. I designated him. Right? And so he got to go in. That Aaron's rod was in the box. It was in the box. Jesus said, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth. That rod represented Jesus 6,000 years ago. What was also in there was an F of manna. Remember the food? By the way, manna in Hebrew means, what is it? So when they go out there and here would be this food for them and more. What is it? They would eat it. That was manna. And Jesus said, I am the what? I am the bread let down out of heaven. You partake of me if you have life. If you don't partake of me, you don't have life. So Jesus is the bread of life. It was in the box as well. And the third thing, you remember what the third thing was in there? The two tablets of stone. God's word to Israel. His Ten Commandments. I've heard it said that those were like his betrothal covenants. These are the articles of what I will be doing and you'll be doing when we get married, God says to Israel. And in the beginning of the book of John, Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Everything that's made is made through Him. Nothing that is was made except through Him. And later on, verse 12, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father. That's Jesus. So all three items in the Ark of the Covenant represented Jesus. How many of you saw the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark? Some of you did. I think the artistic description of that Ark of the Covenant was really pretty good because it shows an angel here and an angel here at the other end, and this open space between is called the mercy seat. So when a high priest went in, he would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would put it on the mercy seat between these two angels. Something has struck me as interesting. I don't know where it's written down, but in good liturgical order, as we did this morning, we came in the gate and we did what? We sang a hymn. We started that way, right? And then we have the confession of sins. That's this big altar, right? And now we're having the ministry of the Word, right? That by the washing of the water and word, He might present Himself a bride, the church, without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And our whole order of worship is intended to bring us into the presence of God, that we can partake of the bread of life as He invites us. And we can draw near to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. That's what God wants. God wants His people all to know that He's approachable. We can come into His presence. He removes the sin that separates us from Him. We've been washed and cleansed and set aside. We've been buried with Christ and resurrected with Christ. So we're alive in Christ. Ephesians 2:6. We've been seated with Him in the heavenly realm. Nothing stands between us and God. So when Jesus came, He was born and the angels sang. He came to the Jordan River and He was baptized and He was set aside. Before this, no miracles, no disciples, no preaching. But when He was set aside, anybody know what the word Messiah means? It means the same thing as the word Christ in Greek. It means the anointed one. So when was He anointed? At the Jordan River. And then He begins His anointed ministry, which carried Him all the way to the cross. The cross was His anointed ministry. That was what He came for. And He came for that so that when He would die, the sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, when He would offer Himself and His sacrifice up to the Father, and the Father would accept it, what was the proof that God had accepted the sacrifice of the sins? Peggy? His Son came out alive. That was the resurrection. That's proof that Jesus was the high priest and that He offered the appropriate sacrifice. He is the go-between, the mediator. A mediator is somebody who goes between, right? Let me ask you something. It says in Ephesians about God's given the church apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers, elder, deacon, presbytery, all those names. There's one name conspicuously absent for anyone who has a ministry in the church. What is that name? Priest. Why is that? Because a priest is a go-between. Jesus is the high priest. And when we are in the high priest, and the high priest is in us, and He goes in, we got to go in. We go into the presence of God. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So no longer do we need another mediator. You don't need me to go to God for you. I'm telling you about what God has done so that you come into His presence by your faith. In your baptism, you were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You are one with Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. That's true for every Christian. Now, there are different duties. When you wrap this thing up, this clan had that responsibility, that clan had that responsibility. We all have different responsibilities in the church. But there is no responsibility that is higher than others, just different. And if anybody tells you that the pastor's position is the highest office, they don't understand who Jesus is. It says about him, he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. As a result of that, he's exalted above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Christ, that he's Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians 2, go read it. Positions in the church are ones of service. Steve's the one who calls and gets people to fill the pulpit here. Steve's one of your elders. He has that responsibility to pray for you and encourage you and watch over things. Others have different responsibility. But some people have said and some people have thought, okay, when this curtain was ripped, and it was. It was ripped from top to bottom, and that ought to got your attention. I mean, all the wooden stone walls and wooden beams, and nothing was touched except the curtain, the cloth curtain. You know what that was? That was a way of saying, okay, this is the treasure map. This is the treasure map. And when Christ was resurrected, okay, don't need the treasure map anymore. Because what? Christ had, hope I didn't tear up my bulletin where I need that, yeah. And some people say, oh, that means the curtain's open, I can go in. What happens if you go in on your own? You're dead. The only way Israel, all of Israel, this is a pretty small thing, 150 foot long, 3 million people, everybody wants God's provision, but not everybody wants to be intimate with God. So when you came here, you never had a right to be here except for the one who was born in Bethlehem, suffered on the cross, and offered his life as a sacrifice for all mankind. And in Christ, nothing can keep you out. On your own, you can't get in without dying. It kills you. You walk in the presence of the glory of God, you're a fritter, dead. Crisp. But in Christ, when we receive Christ, when we're baptized into him, when we trust in him, we are in Christ, and Christ is where? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And so it says in Ephesians 6, we are raised up and seated with him in the heavenly places. That is our position in Christ. And when you come here on a Sunday morning, God's goal and God's desire is that you know who you are. You're not a sinner who's saved by grace. You're a saint who is destined, predestined, to become conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:28. God calls us all things, and that means all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God calls us all things to come together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purposes, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's plan for us. I want to read you a verse from John. This is a beautiful verse. I marked the page so I wouldn't lose it. Then disciples went back to their homes. This is from John 20. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Sound familiar? Two angels? 4,000 years before, positioned at the head and the foot of the mercy seat where someday the body of Jesus, the grave, the place where his sacrifice would be laid, those angels, positioned in gold, stood their position for 4,000 years until Christ should come and die and be resurrected on Easter Sunday morning. Those two angels said, well, what are you crying for? When you're looking for, he's alive. He's alive. Proof that the Father has accepted the sacrifice. I just think that's a wonderful thing to me to know that God's mercy and God's grace was always his trump card. No matter what sin did to this world, God's grace was going to prevail. The Son would become a man. He would suffer. He would die. And he would be raised to life and offer his life to us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's just not that he died for us. He actually comes and takes up residence in us. And the life we have now is his life in us. That is the church. That is us. That is you. And I want to encourage you to lean into that this week. Think about what it means that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not just your hope of glory, but possibly others, the hope of other people's glory also, because Christ is in you and you can share that with them. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have chosen this world as an object of your love and your people most of all. And so I ask, Lord, that as we are gathered here this morning and as we leave here this afternoon, I ask, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts the truth that you've revealed to us, that you, Jesus, from eternity, were destined to become a human being in order to come under the law and satisfy the law that condemned us to death. And as you died and you paid for our sins, Lord, we are now free people. Give us a growing and deeper appreciation for who we are in you. We are not who we were born. We're born the sin of Adam, and in you, the second Adam, the new Adam, we are alive now and forever. Preserve us in that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Let's join together in the prayers of the church. Let's pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you delight to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the heavy yoke that freed from sin's bondage, we may gladly receive your blessings. Preserve us from the lie that you are a cruel oppressor, and give us thankful hearts to rejoice that you are the giver of all good gifts. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, preserve your church by your life-giving word. Open the lips of pastors to declare your just decrees and store them up in the hearts of your people, that we may delight in your promises and abound in good works. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give wisdom and courage to parents as they teach their children your ways. Make our homes havens of peace in quarrelsome, self-seeking world. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you declare that a young man may keep his way pure by guarding it according to your word. Protect children and youth against the siren calls of the devil, the world, and their own sinful nature. Grant delight in your testimonies as much as in all riches. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, according to your wisdom, you establish rulers of this age for a time. Remember President Biden, our governors, and those who have places of authority, that they might fulfill their duties with wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, cause healing to spring up speedily for the sake of your Son. Have mercy upon those who have suffered afflictions of sin in mind and in body. And Lord, we lift up to you Peggy's family at the death of her brother Eric Kaczynski, her birth brother. Lord, as the family grieves his loss, I ask that you would find this as an occasion to speak to them of the words of life that last forever. Lord, show us that our comfort and our hope is not that we will just be with you when we die, but that you will come again, and those who know you by faith will receive a resurrected body and be in your presence without restraint forever and ever. Lord, in your mercy. In God, O Christ, your righteousness goes before us. Your glory is our rear guard. Answer our pleas for mercy this day in the gift of Christ's body and blood, and prepare all those who commune to receive him worthily and joyfully. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Holy Spirit that delivered from the spirits of this world, we might hold fast in faith to what you freely give us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
Thy Spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
O, let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what has been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace then. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and to life everlasting. In his peace then. Amen. Take and drink the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus poured out for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let's pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
birthdays or anniversaries this week, we are having a Super Bowl jumbo luncheon next Sunday. Caroline has graciously offered to take on the task of preparing that. And I think she's asked for donations of different types of food and has requested that, I guess if you didn't bring them this Sunday, she's preparing the jumbo next Saturday.
So you're going to have to find out where she lives if you don't know.
Well, I think we've got everything. And it's bringing me sausage today, I think.
It's in the freezer.
And we have vegetables coming for Mark and Susan. And we have shrimp coming. Next week we'll put the shrimp in the gumbo at church with us. So this will be after church. So
I guess it'll
work out. I don't know.
Have you got plenty of pops? You said you had a set ready.
I don't know. I think we're going to make it and then bring it over here and put it in the refrigerator here in smaller containers.
Okay.
But no,
I've got a couple extra pops if you need.
So we'll see.
Okay.
I'm not used to seafood gumbo for everybody, but it'll come out somehow or another.
It's going to be all good.
That's what gumbo is, throw anything in, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Also remind you that April the 30th is going to be Friendship Sunday, and they were still having game day in the fellowship hall on Monday. That's all I have.
Oh, and you making rice, right?
Yes.
All right. That's important.
I have to remind us that we have a covered dish on Palm Sunday.
You remember?
And I have it on good authority because Susan is going to bring potato salad.
Speaking of March 12th, that is Palm Sunday, I'm going to be preaching about baptism. Amanda and Brody and the son, Julian, are going to be baptized, I think, that Sunday. If you know anybody who has not been baptized and wants to be baptized, if you'll help me connect with them, I'd be glad. We spent a wonderful afternoon with Carol and Larry and the three of them, two of them, Brody. Children didn't come home, talking about baptism, preparing them so we can have them baptized on the same Sunday as well. So if you know somebody that has not been baptized and would want to receive Jesus and be baptized, it'll be that Sunday.
What Sunday is that?
March 12th. Yes. So let me know. By the way, you're welcome with my phone number. If you got a pencil, want to write it down. 713, I'll repeat it, 713-269-4070. That's 713-269-4070. Yeah. And so if you have any questions about baptism, now today in Bible class, I'm going to follow up on the message. We'll dig a little deeper into the whole tabernacle. It's just a wonderful message, you know, 4,000 years before Jesus of who he was going to be. And so we're going to talk about that. But on the March 12th then, we'll be talking about baptism. That'll be the message here. And that'll be for all of us. And if, you know, as I said, if you know of anybody who needs to be baptized and has not been, scour the bushes, let me know and we'll talk with them and invite them as well. Okay. Any other things? So join us for Bible class. We'll be talking about the tabernacle there again. Good.